Experience better banking. Open a free checking with eStatements account in just minutes at sdccu.com and bank on the go. Check balances, deposit checks, pay bills, and more just about anywhere through your smartphone 24/7. And if you need cash, access one of our 30,000 surcharge-free ATMs. San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better. Message and data rates may apply. Federally insured by NCUA. For details, visit sdccu.com.
Swenson Children's Foundation started to encourage hope and support so that children can have faith in their futures. As it says in Psalms 127:3, children are a blessing and a gift from our Lord. We see God's hand in every outreach opportunity we have had over these last 10 years to provide a blessing to children and their families in need, and will continue to serve our communities from coast to coast. If you would like to learn more about our foundation, please visit our website, SwensonChildren'sFoundation.org.
Are you looking for a local, top-tier accounting and consulting firm? Look no further than Swenson Advisors. Since 1998, Swenson Advisors has been delivering personalized, customer-focused services with the expertise of a national firm. Our clients, from middle-market public and private companies to high-net-worth individuals, trust us for our responsive, ethical, and innovative approach. Whether you're in technology, real estate, manufacturing, or the nonprofit sector, Swenson Advisors has you covered. Specializing in lease accounting, audit and assurance, tax services, and consulting, Swenson Advisors delivers tailored solutions for your financial success. We're not just another accounting firm. We're your strategic ally, dedicated to innovative solutions and impeccable service. Ranked among the top 25 accounting firms by the San Diego Business Journal and recognized for our integrity and responsiveness. Join the countless clients who trust Swenson Advisors for their accounting needs. Visit us at SwensonAdvisors.com today or call us at 619-237-3400. Swenson Advisors, expertise you can trust, solutions you can count on.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the airwaves the CEO of Save America Now PAC and your host for Turning California Red, Steve Austin. Join Steve along with his co-host Kelly Hansen Monday through Wednesday at 2 p.m. for a powerful conservative talk show. They'll tackle today's hot topics, current events, and feature special guests dedicated to restoring America's values. In a time when freedom, personal responsibility, and the Constitution are under attack, Steve and Kelly are here to fight back. Together, we can help turn California red again. Tune in and be part of the movement.
Good afternoon, everybody, and Kelly. Let's talk a little bit about some things going on internationally. One of the, Trump is now in his second 100 days, and so one of the things I found fascinating is that during the Biden administration, the Houthis out of Yemen were bombing the heck out of the cargo ships going through the Suez Canal, and and it was amazing that went on. Now, our U.S. military, our aircraft carriers, some of which are parked from time to time in the San Diego Bay in Coronado, have been out there for quite a while. Well, it wasn't until Trump came along and he basically said, "Okay, we're going to stop this." And I think for probably about 3 weeks, they've been bombing the heck out of the Houthis. And finally, a couple of days ago, they said, okay, let's call a truce to this. We'll stop bombing the cargo ships if you stop obliterating our country. And, that's the kind of military power that we have. Now, we've lost, I think, two or three of the F-18s have fallen into the ocean. Out there, or the sea, the pilots all got, they ejected and got rescued and stuff. But I do remember having lunch with somebody who was one of these fighter pilots, and he was describing to me what it takes to land on those aircraft carriers. And it's, they go in pretty much at full speed, and they have to, catch the wire, and if they don't catch the wire, they have to basically accelerate like crazy and take off again. Mm-hmm. This is on a pretty small little piece of real estate out in the middle of the water. But nevertheless, our military strength is so superior to anything in the world. I think including China, that you know we're able to bring these folks. So now the Houthis have finally said, oh, let's have a truce, and Hezbollah is basically out of commission thanks to the Americans and the Israelis. Now, the one that still puzzles me a little bit is Hamas in Gaza, that though Trump claims that, and maybe by the time this show airs, they're going to have some amazing announcement perhaps about turning Gaza into the Riviera. So who knows? But anyhow, needless to say, in his second 100 days, he's making a lot of progress. The other thing that continues to amaze me is Greenland. You know, Greenland, you know, is they're investing more time into understanding the people, actually working with people on the ground, getting, you know, genuine, not just the Denmark-Greenland leadership perspective, but really what do those folks, what do they think? And so that topic never leaves. And, of course, Trump continues to deal with, you know, he made this pretty important agreement with the Ukraine to be able to mine their minerals. And, you know, I think more importantly, that means we'll have U.S. industry in the Ukraine recovering some of the $300 billion or whatnot we spent there. But more importantly, putting Putin in a situation where, are you really going to go in and bomb American factories? Or, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of cost to that in the long run. Though the one thing that the recent op-ed in the Wall Street Journal talked about is that, you know, Trump often talks about the number of people killed every week, both on the Russian side and the Ukraine side, like thousands of people. And that really bothers him. But there are people that know Putin, and Putin is like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't care if they die. It's just hard to believe as Americans that people can be that evil and heartless. But right. I think we have to kind of keep that in mind in this. But now, this week, Kelly, we've seen the new Canadian Prime Minister come to town. And what did you think of that meeting in the Oval Office?
Well, again, we talked about this in a previous show briefly. But really, I just feel like Trump is playing hardball. You know, he's letting them know that we're not going to even negotiate unless the terms are very favorable for us, because we could do without. And I thought it was in line with Trump. I thought it was very much what I had expected. But what did you think?
Well, I think the interesting line is when they came along and said, you know, the Canadian Prime Minister turned to the audience and said, we're never going to sell. And Trump goes, never say never.
And, yeah.
you know, he controls, he knows how to control the conversation. You know, first of all, he takes about 85% of the talking points and the questions. And it's been interesting to watch him deal with ABC and NBC and CBS and the people that sit down and try to interview him. And, you know, he kind of has an interesting posture on TV. He leans forward in his chair and you know, looks him right in the eye. And he's not afraid to tell the person on the other side, you know, I don't know who you are, but you're not very good.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, yeah.
He's,
no issue with that.
he can certainly put people in their place. And, of course, they all come at it. And it's really sad to think that you can't balance an interview with positive questions and positive comments with others that are, you know, maybe justifiably asked. I mean, certainly the questions around the tariff strategy, even the Wall Street Journal believes that, you know, the strategy on the tariffs may well be a failed strategy. I don't know on that. I think it throws in a lot of uncertainty. You know, there was an economist, a British economist by the name of John Maynard Keynes, who Keynesian economics was something that in the 70s and 80s was kind of the dominant thinking as opposed to kind of the more free enterprise Austrian school of economics. But Keynes actually did quite a study on tariffs. And apparently, yeah, you know, back in the 30s and 40s, the United States was very much like China is today. You know, we dominated and exported like crazy and produced so much, and now it's flipped. But he put together, there's a story that he left London, which was getting bombed, and went to some country home state for a week to think about how can we deal with tariffs. And he came up with some clearinghouse theory, which, you know, I could only imagine how that would work. Would be a real challenge. But nevertheless, the tariff issue and just some of the business people I've talked to locally here in San Diego, I think is an issue that you know, has long-term value, but the short-term pain may be very difficult for him to overcome.
Overcome, yeah.
Because it can take, you know, it takes years to shift manufacturing back to the United States. It takes years to build these things and get the investment. So, you know, I'd say the jury's out on that particular issue.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that there's a lot of people on both sides of the issue, and they're heated, you know, because like you said, it's not going to be a short-term process. It's something that my fear is that we will do really well. It'll start to get better, and then we'll flip, we'll get a new leader, and they'll decide they don't want to go through with the long-term plan. And now we're going to flip back, and it's, you know, if we're flipping all around and we don't decide to go forward with it and be strong, I do think it's going to be bad for our economy. But if we can stick to it, then I do think it's a really good long-term goal. So,
well, you raise a really good point about the fact that we need to build a platform that endures for 20 years, not something mm-hmm. that's just 48 months.
Exactly.
But, you know, four or yeah. five terms. And, you know,
just doesn't stand a chance in that small window. So,
yeah.
It's a debate, and I would love to talk to an economist about it as well. And I've had a few on my show that I want to get back on and really dive deep into their opinion on whether or not we're better off with them, with the tariffs, or if we're better off just staying the way we are. Well, I do want to jump into one other topic real quick and almost give a plug for a friend of ours who was actually on our show. But you were talking in a previous show about the fact that, you know, Pam Bondi is now setting up a task force that's investigating basically Christian bias in the government, and especially parents who have been deemed domestic terrorists. And really right. just simply for their biblical views, a lot of it was some of these outspoken values and views during COVID. And we had a guest on this show. His name is Kelly Walker, and he's with Real Freedom Talk. And he actually has been sending in letters. He's been speaking with the Trump administration and working really, really hard. So just a plug for Kelly Walker at Real Freedom Talk. If you want to check out more information about that and kind of how they're moving the ball forward and why that is so necessary. He does a really good job at articulating what is Pam doing? Why? How is this going to help so many families and parents across the nation? And it's really just retribution that's been necessary for a long time. So, you know, a lot of these people, they lost their businesses, they lost their homes, their family has been completely disrupted, and they haven't been able to get restored throughout this process. And so, you know, watching a lot of people who maybe went to jail, J6ers, and seeing them finally getting freedom, and seeing people who maybe were praying, you know, at these abortion clinics, and they went to jail, and now they're free. I know a lot of these parents are feeling like they're due for retribution. So I think it's exciting to see that things are moving forward. You had asked me about what I thought about Trump's first 100 days, but I think that's a huge plus yeah. that we're taking a look at what has really transpired
Let's see if we can get your friend on one of the shows coming up.
Absolutely. We'll have to get him back on.
So we're going to take a little break here. We have a great guest coming on the other side, so stay tuned.
Swenson Children's Foundation started to encourage hope and support so that children can have faith in their futures. As it says in Psalms 127:3, children are a blessing and a gift from our Lord. We see God's hand in every outreach opportunity we have had over these last 10 years to provide a blessing to children and their families in need, and will continue to serve our communities from coast to coast. If you would like to learn more about our foundation, please visit our website, Swenson Children's Foundation. www.accountingandconsulting.org.
Are you looking for a local top-tier accounting and consulting firm? Look no further than Swenson Advisors. Since 1998, Swenson Advisors has been delivering personalized, customer-focused services with the expertise of a national firm. Our clients, from middle market public and private companies to high net worth individuals, trust us for our responsive, ethical, and innovative approach. Whether you're in technology, real estate, manufacturing, or the nonprofit sector, Swenson Advisors has you covered. Specializing in lease accounting, audit and assurance, tax services, and consulting, Swenson Advisors delivers tailored solutions for your financial success. We're not just another accounting firm. We're your strategic ally, dedicated to innovative solutions and impeccable service. Ranked among the top 25 accounting firms by the San Diego Business Journal and recognized for our integrity and responsiveness. Join the countless clients who trust Swenson Advisors for their accounting needs. Visit us at swensonadvisors.com today or call us at 619-237-3400. Swenson Advisors, expertise you can trust, solutions you can count on.
And we're back, Kelly. One of the things I enjoy about these programs is that we're able to get to know our guests and oftentimes ask them to come back because they've kind of, like peeling back the onion with them, having a mm-hmm. chance to find out what they're doing in the world. And some are making some very creative and innovative changes and producing products and services that people need. And we have just that person on today, Dr. Randy Bray. Randy, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And Randy, I was we were talking about just in terms of background, you and I have known each other for, at least 55 years, and having gone to the same high school and university back in the day.
You're getting old, Fran.
Oh, I know. It's I feel it too from time to time. But
dating yourselves on that one.
Woo. Yeah. So yeah, when you talk about going to school with somebody 55 years ago, that's a lifetime.
Right. But, it is. That's awesome.
So Kelly, as you know, Randy came on board in the fall, mm-hmm. and we were able to talk to him just shortly after he submitted the final chapters to his new book called Trustworthy. And it was a fascinating discussion about a very sensitive issue. And so, Randy, can you kind of bring us up to speed on where you are with your publication of your book? Because we want to have you on one more time when the book's out and actually promote it on how to find it on Amazon and how to get a hold of it and what it's going to help us with.
Well, I appreciate that, Steve. And by the way, Miss Kelly, it's good to speak with you again as well.
Yes, and, you too.
But as far as the book goes, it's moving along a little slowly, I think, but no, I think it's probably par for the course. But they have finished digitizing it. The preliminary editing is now complete. They're now on the final editing of it. Following that, there will be what they call a page design. I have a number of charts and things in the book, and so they have those folks that specialize in how to make a page look the best that it can. And so it has to go through that. And then as soon as that's finished, as I understand it, then they're going to complete the cover design, and then it'll be ready for printing. So I don't know exactly how long that's going to be. Optimistically hoping that it's going to be within the next 2 or 3 months.
Okay. Yeah. Well, as you know, I wrote a book 20 years ago with Strang Publications out of Orlando, and it was a totally new experience for me, and getting those chapters produced, and then I remember the book had to do with business ethics post Enron, but I remember working with I had a very good lady who was really kind of the editor, and she did a number of things, like you talked about, getting things set up in terms of the design. We didn't have too many charts, but she did a great job of bringing more, this was more of a business book, bringing more scripture into each of the chapters. I'd say I probably accepted 95% of their edits and thought they were right on. And they produce several books a year, this particular organization. But it is quite a process, and people, don't understand when you walk into a bookstore, you've got there's a lot of hours and years behind the scenes just to get those books on the shelf. That's encouraging. And so you think maybe you'll have a summer release of the book?
Yes, sir. I'm hoping so. That's what I'm hoping for.
Where are you with the cover?
Well, I've submitted my thoughts of what I'm trying to, obviously, and for your listeners, the name of the book is Trustworthy, God's Plan for Absolute Victory Over Memories of Child Sexual Abuse. So the cover, I wanted to be able to kind of capture the idea that here is an individual, whether they're in their maybe early teen years when they've been rescued or they come out of the abuse, or in later in life. I've dealt with people in their middle years. I spoke not too long ago with the vice president of a Bible college whose wife is, I don't know, probably in her 60s. And still, she has done much better, but for many, many years, just really had problems. And I run into it at least weekly, if not more so, more frequently, where people in their early adult years, middle adult years, are still struggling with the memories of how they were horribly abused for many times or for years. And so as we've gone through that and attempted to encourage them to follow, what you're saying is exactly right, Steve, is a biblical pathway is God's plan, and it's certainly available for anyone who's willing. But that's the idea there.
Yeah, one of the things I mentioned on an earlier broadcast is that in San Diego, our district attorney, Summer Steffen, has held a number of public conferences, press releases about the sex trafficking of young women in just San Diego County. And Randy, it shocked me that business is almost, it's $800 million. $800 million a year, almost $1 billion business. Our economy, Kelly, I think for the whole San Diego economy is only, I don't know, $2 or $3 billion maybe. And you have a business like that going on. Now, part of it, Randy, is because of the cartels and the closeness to the border. But, are you finding that, I mean, that influx, during the Biden administration and just letting in millions and millions of people, many of whom were focused on that, and the cartels in particular, trying to profit off of little children. And are you finding that is now even a bigger problem than it was, say, 10 years ago?
I guess probably my experience in the actual trafficking, sexual trafficking and so forth, is probably similar to yours as far as what I understand. In my 50 years of counseling, and a lot of that is dealing with probably the majority of what I've dealt with through the years are marriages in serious trouble, infidelity, and just all kind of problems with that. But I've dealt many, many, many times. I can't remember how frequently, but I run into it frequently, and I've counseled many, many times with the sexually abused or the formerly sexually abused. And so most of mine has not been through the actual, the sexual trafficking that's done over the border or even, here domestically. You're exactly right. I do stay up on the statistics. I stay up on what's going on, and your assessment is exactly correct in that it is exponentially increased because of what's gone on in the borders. And the truth of the matter is, in the decadent society in which you and I live now, I mean, it's always gone on. It's a terrible thing. I've dealt with it multiple times with family members abusing their own children or relatives or best friends. You know, I've had to be involved with, you know, sending someone to the authorities because of it. And so it's a sad, sad thing. But it is a national epidemic, if we could put it that way. Because of what's happened across the border.
Absolutely. And I know, you know, Randy, I've actually dealt with, there's an organization called Peace of Heaven, and it's the Church of Glad Tidings. Pastor Dave Bryan leads it up. He has a great team, like Matt Kennedy. We've had Matt on this show, and Charlita Bassett as well. And, you know, I, through all the shows that I've done with them as well, I've talked to them about all the statistics of the children who have been reported missing in each country. And I know that the United States, it's like approximately 500,000 a year. It's crazy, of missing children. And that's just children who go missing. I mean, think about, like you said, all the people within their home who are being sexually abused, within their neighborhood, at their school, whatever it might be. Like you guys said, it's just become astronomical. It's everywhere. And it is, it's at the fall of our society, seeing that God is not the center of our country anymore.
And
so many things are, you know, dismissed, and people are being told it's okay if you have these weird fetishes, or it's okay. No, it's not okay. And this is what it leads to. So, you know, in the process of writing your book, Trustworthy, and like you said, counseling people, what have you seen has been the biggest issue in creating these environments of this sexual abuse?
I would say the normalization of pornography would be right at the top of the list. And like you said, the culture that is encouraged, either whether it's trafficking being encouraged by the cartels, or it is the normalization through our various mediums of TV and movies and so forth. The sexualization of the little kids and young children, and unfortunately, some young people, they're wrong in running away from home and wanting to necessarily be a model or something like that. But there's been predators for many decades in New York City and other places where young people will run away from home to be, and they arrive at a bus station or at the train station or someplace like that. And the predators, they are very well versed in being able to recognize young people that are just kind of arriving, and without, you know, really any plans. And so they pick them up and promise and really follow through immediately to provide them a place to stay and all kinds of good things, buy them nice clothing and everything these kids had dreamed about. And then, of course, they're sexually abused and beaten and threatened and everything else, or threatening their loved ones if they don't go along with it. That's a long answer to a short question, but there's right. so many different ways that young people, but most of mine, I'd say probably 90% of the many, many that I've dealt with, whether it's on the college campus or when I worked in juvenile delinquency, most of the young ladies that were either on probation to me or were incarcerated and I was responsible for them in a youth development center, probably most of them had been abused in one way or another. Mm-hmm. But it's just sad what goes on. And one of the tragedies, too, it's an unintended consequence. But oftentimes adults and counselors and pastors and others will say, well, you'll grow out of it, out of those memories. Or worse than that, they'll tell them, there's no way to get rid of those memories. You're stuck. Once it's in there, it's like a groove in the brain, which there's some accuracy to that, but there's a groove in the brain. Every time that you have these memories, you're sinful for having those memories. Well, they're not. But what they're told is that you're just stuck with it. And like we talked about on the last broadcast, I think, that's absolutely unequivocally, and by the way, it's not true. that you can't get rid of it. It is possible. God gives a distinct pathway that if they'll follow that pathway, and I've watched it many, 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 many times successfully, and just watch as God gives them the victory as they follow the pathway. So,
listening to Dr. Randy Bray today, author of a new upcoming book called Trustworthy. You know, Randy, let me divert to a couple of things that I have found interesting. Right now, we're watching the even the conservative media is focused on Rome and the Vatican and all the rituals that I find no biblical basis for. But I've seen commercials run on these conservative stations for the people who have been abused by the Catholic Church and by the priests. And, it is amazing to me that that church, now this could be true in evangelical Christianity, but I don't think it's as prolific, but it's amazing to me that, that the Catholic Church and the people who have bought into that, have been born into it, don't sit back and say, what in the world is going on here? And the many children that have been abused by not just the Catholic Church, but the Boy Scouts. And the Boy Scouts have gone bankrupt because of this issue. I mean, if you can't send your kid to church and you can't send them to the Boy Scouts, what's that say about this country?
Yeah, it's exactly right, Steve and Ms. Kelly. It really is, and unfortunately, when people discuss these kinds of issues, and they don't realize that there is a biblical option, there are biblical options to those institutions, then they just take a broad brush and say they're all a bunch of hypocrites, and if that's the case with the largest denomination in the world, then there's no use. There's not a God who kept me from being abused and whatever else. And unfortunately, they stop looking for help, and they become calloused. And so the tragedies are compounded not only by the abuse, but because of what's happened in these institutions that for decades and decades, they were held in high esteem, if not for centuries. So you're exactly right. But the truth of the matter is that God is still on the throne. The Bible is still true. God's grace is there. God's forgiveness, if it's necessary, is still offered. Salvation is still true. And what's necessary for us who know the truth in the Word of God and see God's mercy and grace is for us to be students of the Word, but in specific areas as well, such as child sexual abuse, or alcoholism, or a lot of these things, that if we can find the biblical and practical answers that can take someone from being an alcoholic or someone who is suicidal because they've been told by their parent that they were sexually abused, they were raped, or whatever it was, that you're no longer pure anymore, you'll never be pure again, or somebody that suffers from anxiety or one of the disorders. Many of the disorders. My doctoral thesis was terminal with a question mark, and then God's therapeutic, rethinking God's therapeutic for Christians with psychotic disorders, and taking that, and whether it was ADHD or PTSD or postpartum or a number of them that have horrible things involved with them. And yet understanding that chemical therapies are not always the answer. Now, they're not always a problem either. And so it has to be looked at objectively, medically, chemically, but spiritually. And I probably would prefer that answer than you asked.
No, that's
God still has the answer. And there are still godly men. There are still godly preachers. There are still godly parents. And so I would say perhaps to someone listening, as I run into, I would say at least once a week, if not multiple times a week, just by accident, just by conversation, people will find out what I've written, and they'll say, well, you know what, my brother or my sister or I was sexually abused or whatever, and all that to a listener tonight or today that perhaps has had that, and they still suffer from all of those awful, awful memories, the types and the times and the strategies that were used and all of those things. And they've been told and they've now believed that there's no hope. They just have to be miserable. Hmm. Well, there is hope, just like there's godly preachers. There's godly parents. And so praise the Lord for that.
It's a good balance. So, Randy, give us a little taste of a few of the chapters that are in the book, just to tease us a little bit to make sure that when it's out, we go order 100 copies.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's it. All right. There's really five primary chapters. There's an introduction and a conclusion, but not including those, there's five chapters. If you put the first letters together, it would spell the word trust. And so the title of the book is Trustworthy, and it's really speaking of the trustworthiness of God. No matter what malady that I've been exposed to, or what crisis I've created, God has an answer for that. And so he indeed is trustworthy. His word is trustworthy to help us provide for us a pathway of finding success in overcoming that crisis that's in our lives. So the first five letters are T-R-U-S-T for trust. The first chapter is entitled Total Commitment, starts with a T, Total Commitment. And this is not just, you know, we talk a lot about commitments. I've made a commitment to buy a car, or I've made a commitment to my sweetheart, or whatever it is. But this total commitment, especially when we're talking about things like child sexual abuse and overcoming it, it's the kind of total commitment that Queen Esther had when King Ahasuerus was going to kill all the Jews. And we don't have time to go into all the biblical background on that. But the king was going to kill all the Jews because of Haman and so forth. And when her adopted dad, so to speak, told her that you're the queen for such a time as this, she was a Jew as well. And so she tried to kind of get out of it to start with. And her uncle kind of just, you know, up front and close told her, you're not going to be dismissed from this as well. And she began to think about it, and she finally sent word back to her adopted dad. She said, have everybody pray for me. I'll be speaking to the king about it. And here's what she said. If I perish, I perish, because it was a decree to die, if I could put it that way, if somebody went before the king unannounced. And that's what she had to do. And so if he didn't approve of her just showing up, so to speak, then it was a capital offense. She could die. And so she said, you pray for me, and if I perish, I perish. Now, I'm not saying that people need to say, okay, I'm going to die through this. It's not that at all. But it is that kind of a total commitment, because oftentimes when you first start helping someone that's been abused as a child, they'll remember who did it, and they'll remember a time or two or five or whatever. But as you begin working through the process of overcoming this, there will be a number of other things that come to mind to say, well, I forgot all about that. And I forgot all about that. Oh, yes, this happened to me too. And we're not talking about repressive memories here, of just something being, well, you can't remember, so this must have happened, is which many are told. But they're able to remember times and places and events and specifics that remind them of, yes, this did. So here's the point, is the very first chapter is probably one of the longest chapters in helping them to work through that. And at least twice, I believe, in the first chapter, and four times at least throughout the entire book, I ask them then at that stage of where they now are to once again revisit a total commitment to the Lord and say, Lord, I need a total commitment, so that when you remind me, or when the circumstances arise, when you remind me of that, then I'll be ready to make that total commitment even larger. And here's the reason, is because as they proceed all the way through, there's going to be different responsibilities. that are involved in the other chapters that's going to require a total commitment. Anything less than a total commitment, they'll feel better and they'll do better for a while, but sooner or later it will be short-lived. So if I can help them at the beginning to understand, okay, here's where I am right now. We're just now started, and so I'm going to do the Romans 12, 1 and 2, that I make that total commitment to God so that I can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He's going to see me through it so that they'll be well versed. So that's the letter T. The letter R in trust is righteousness resisted. Paul said in Romans 7, 21, I see then that there is a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So the point is that every time I make a decision for God's glory, then the Bible says there's going to be a counter influence that's going to come in. We call it temptation. And it may try to allure us away from doing what we know God wants us to do. It may try to intimidate us by saying, oh, you know, you're never going to be able to do that, or whatever the strategy is. So if the person can understand, once they've made that total commitment to God, that the Bible says it's a law, like the law of gravity is a scientific law. This is a spiritual law. The Bible says that when I would do good, now would there is not a helping verb. Like I will go to the store. I would like to go to the store. The word would there has the idea, it's a Greek word. It means to consider a matter and to arrive at a conclusion. So here's this young person or adult who's going to fight their mental battles, but doing it God's way by making their total commitment. Well, when they make that and they've thought about it, they've arrived at a conclusion. Yes, I've suffered 5 years with this. How many more years do I want to suffer? Or I've suffered for 35 years. How many more years do I want to wait until I'm 45 to get? No, I'm going to make that commitment now, okay? When they make that commitment, then God says there's going to be counter influences, they're called temptations, to stop it for whatever reason, whether it's enticing or intimidating. So if they'll be ready for that, I call it the ugly face of temptation. When the temptation arises, they're going to say to themselves, the Holy Spirit's going to remind them, wait a minute, you're in lion country here, this is temptation. Watch out for it, here's how it's coming, special delivery to your mind. Then if they recognize it, then that's a lot of the battle fixed right there, and they don't have to continue battling with it. So that's righteousness resisted. That's R. Then U is one of the important chapters, probably the other longest chapter, and it's unashamed discernment. There's two parts to unashamed discernment. Unashamed means that you can come back later and look at it and say, you know what? Praise the Lord, I was ready for that. And discernment has the idea of objectively. That means looking at it factually and not saying, well, this is what I think because this is how I feel. But this is looking at the facts of what's going on. So unashamed discernment has two things. Number one is accurately identifying the types and the strategies, everything that's gone on with the abuse. Go ahead and identify them. The things as far as your memories, especially those memories that come frequently to your mind at the weirdest times, at whatever, every day, once a week, however often they come, but to identify those things and so that you can be ready when those ugly faces arise. So you starts with unashamed discernment, being able to accurately identify the types, the traumas, the continuing memories associated with the child sexual abuse. Okay. The second part, though, of unashamed discernment is once you've identified all those things that the devil's using to intimidate, to entice, to encourage depression or discouragement or anxiety, then number two in unashamed discernment is accurately identifying biblical principles to superintend those traumas and memories that you're going through. So in other words, the individual, maybe with the help of someone else, will go to a Bible help and find out, well, what does the Bible say about fear? What does the Bible say about sexual things? What does the Bible say about anxiety? What does the Bible say about anger? What does the Bible say about bitterness? What does the Bible say? And so whatever avenue the temptation is traveling to try to get you to fall for depression, for just anxiety, whatever it is. When you see the avenue of the strategy that's coming at you, you've ahead of time, hopefully, you've identified a biblical principle that can stand up, maybe many biblical principles, because there are many biblical principles for every one of these temptations. So you find it, and you're prepared with at least one, and maybe several, that as soon as that temptation arrives, because you've done your unashamed discernment of the temptations, of the abuses, and now you've already studied the sexual, not sexual, but the spiritual preparations, you can stop that memory in its tracks as we finish out the S and the T. So we've already looked at total commitment, righteous resistance, unashamed discernment. Letter D, or the fourth in it, is strength acquired attributes. This is a phenomenal part of the scriptures, and I think we talked about it last time perhaps, but it's taken from 2 Peter chapter 1, and verses 3 and following, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And it talks about that God has given us promises. He's given us everything we need for life and for godliness. And so that two things will happen when we see, oh, God provided this ahead of time. It's there. It's in his storehouse ready when I need it. And it does two things at the same time. Number one, it says that we can attain the attributes of God. And number two, that we'll escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. So he says that these promises, and I can't remember the exact word, it's attaining, but there's another word for it, acquiring the very attributes of God, his love, his joy, his peace, his long-suffering, his gentleness, his goodness, his kindness, so forth, brotherly love. We'll see those in our lives as opposed to all the depression and all the anger and all the bitterness that can go on and on. And it doesn't just, it's not just a one-off, if we could call it, just anger. It breeds other things as well. In the psychiatric world, they call them comorbidities. But all the point is that when we're prepared with our unashamed discernment, because we understand that righteousness is going to be resisted when we've made our total commitment, then the strength acquired attributes, he says, and beside this, giving all diligence, and then he tells us these eight things, add to your faith. Now, you already have saving faith if you're a Christian, but then he wants you to add to saving faith, living faith. So he says, add to your faith virtue, that's moral uprightness, doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason, the right place, so that no matter how far you've gone, many people who've been sexually abused go into very promiscuous lives. They don't see that. They're already abused. They've already had sexual intimacies. They've already, I mean, over and over, I've dealt with them from ages 3 to 5 and 7 and 12, where they, and I haven't dealt with them when they were 3 years old, but they were abused from ages 3 to 5 to 7 to 12 to 15. Wow. It's just ugly. Wow. and horrible. It's just horrible.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
But when they realize, wait a minute, I don't have to live in that prison. That God says, if I add to my faith virtue, I may have responded wrongly. I may have become homosexual. I may have become a prostitute. I may have stayed away from this or acquired that. But that doesn't mean I have to do it today. That doesn't mean I have to do it tomorrow. I can do the virtuous thing, doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason, the right place, right now where I am. And so it said, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, that's experiential knowledge from the Greek language, and temperance, that's strength, that's with straining strength, like the Hoover Dam holds back the Colorado River. So it's restraining strength, and we don't have time to go into the rest of it. But that's strength acquired attributes. But when you add those, it's an accumulative effect of that. When you have virtue that's added to your faith, and not only that, but you have experiential knowledge of what God did in you and with you and for you because you did the right thing at the right time, then that adds experiential knowledge. But then you add to that temperance, which is restraining strength, that the next time that same temptation comes, that ugly face, you look at it in the eye with the help of God. That's James chapter 4. You go to God. You submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I think we talked about that last time. So now with restraining strength, with God's help, not your own strength, you look the old devil in the eye and you say, devil, I may have done that yesterday, but I've already been to God to ask him for help. And I may do it tomorrow, but tomorrow hasn't arrived. So right here, right now, with God's help, devil, I am not going to do that. And then you change your mind and go in a direction that's pleasing to God.
We're listening today to Dr. Randy Bray, and he's kind of peeling back a little bit of what we're going to be able to see in his new upcoming book, Trustworthy. And, you know, Randy, one of the things I recently was listening to Jack Hibbs talking about temptation, how, you know, Christ was tempted. That's going to happen. But thought control is so important that we just don't entertain. Once you see that temptation, then you need to, as I'm sure you talk about in the book, fill it up with godly thoughts and fill it up with what God would encourage you
absolutely.
To do.
Absolutely.
Randy, we're running out of time, but there's one topic I want you to touch on that's curious to me before we run out, and that is you're in Western North Carolina, and we've had Phil Buck and the pastor there in Temple in Asheville. What is the status of the post-hurricane situation in Western North Carolina these days?
Well, that's a good question, Steve. There's been a lot of progress in a lot of different areas, but there's still a lot of damage. I live about 15 minutes. I don't know if you're familiar or the people in your region there are familiar with Chimney Rock. It's a great place, but it is a place a lot of tourists go. But it's still you can't drive all the way through it. The river completely destroyed almost every bit of this little town of Chimney Rock. So in a lot of places, though, there's been a lot of progress made.
Well, very good, Randy. We are running out of time, as always, but we're going to have you back, and Kelly may want you on one of her podcast shows.
Absolutely,
You need to make sure you send me an immediate text when your book is available on Amazon or whatnot. And we're going to get you back on the show. So we appreciate your time, and God bless you there in Western North Carolina.
All right, my friend.
All right. Thank you.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Turning California Red. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to join Steve Austin and Kelly Hansen Wednesday at 2 p.m. for more hard-hitting discussions, guest interviews, and the fight to restore America's values. Remember, our nation needs saving, and together we can make California red again. Stay strong, stay informed, and stay committed to the cause. Until next time, keep pushing forward, patriots.
Every day, families with a hospitalized child find comfort at our San Diego Ronald McDonald House. Right now, you can help, all while giving yourself a chance to win big. The San Diego Giving Back Raffle is your chance to win an incredible multi-million dollar Carlsbad Beach House, luxury vacations, high-end cars, and so much more. But more importantly, every ticket helps families stay together during life's toughest times. Visit sdraffle.com to get your tickets today. That's sdraffle.com.